This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the COVID pandemic and everything associated with it has really consumed us much more than any other story in the last 2 years, really. But one very important part of our story, and really part of the COVID pandemic story as well, is the economy, the effect this pandemic has had on businesses and jobs, particularly in the hospitality industry, but not solely, the travel industry as well affected, and in all kinds of ways. Retail also badly affected. In all kinds of ways, the economy has been buffeted. Nevertheless, recently we had what were pretty spectacular figures announced for GDP by the government. And also, of course, there is the question of inflation, which is worldwide now. It's 7% in the United States, 5% across the European Union. And of course, with high inflation come various problems, and for householders in particular, and for ordinary people like us, it can mean higher interest rates. To discuss all of this, particularly from an Irish perspective, we're joined now by one of our leading economists, Jim Power. Jim, firstly, we did get an announcement last week about our GDP and the rest of the factors that indicate how we're doing economically, and they were very, very good, and better than almost any other country in Europe.
Yes, Eamon, it's likely that GDP last year will have expanded by at least 14%, which will be the strongest in Europe, an incredibly strong number. It could actually be higher by the time we get the final numbers, but it's a strong picture. And what we also got last week, which I think is a really strong indicator of what's happening on the ground in the economy, the Exchequer returns for the full year, and they were quite extraordinary. We collected 68.4 billion in taxation, which is the highest level we've ever collected in this country. It was 19% ahead of the previous year, and that's an increase of over 11.2 billion. So incredibly strong stuff. And within that, of course, three elements are really important, because income tax, VAT and corporation tax account for around 84% of our total tax revenues. So those three tax headings need to be performing to drive tax revenues higher. And all three are performing in a pretty stellar manner at the moment. Income tax, which is the largest, 26.6 billion. Up almost 4 billion on the previous year. That's growth of 17%. The VAT take, 15.4 billion, up 3 billion on the previous year. And corporation tax, 15.3 billion collected. That's up 3.5 billion on the previous year. So the three big tax headings, income tax, which reflects what's going on in the labour market, VAT, which reflects what's going on with consumer spending, particularly in areas like new car sales, and corporation tax, which reflects the health of the corporate sector performing very, very strongly. One caveat on the corporation tax side is the fact that around 85% of our corporate tax take comes from large multinationals, and around 13%, for example, comes from the SME sector. So what that corporation tax take reflects more than anything else is that the big multinationals that are so important to our economy globally and here in Ireland are performing very strongly. And that is feeding through to strong growth in tax revenues there. So now, it's a really good story, to be honest.
How do we explain the growth in income tax, Jim, given the vicissitudes facing so many businesses, retail, hospitality, clearly travel also? How can we explain that so many people are working and earning to the extent that those figures show?
Okay, first of all, Eamon, it reflects the very progressive nature of our income tax system. And some people will dispute that, but it is an indisputable fact that our income tax system is very progressive. In other words, the more you earn, the more tax you pay. The less you earn, the less tax you pay. And what we saw in the economy in 2021, and indeed in 2020 also, was that certain sectors of the economy that are populated by higher earners were largely unaffected by COVID-19 from an economic and financial perspective. So I'm talking about people who work in the multinational sector. I'm talking about people who work in financial services, professional services, the public sector. Despite COVID, they continue to work, they continue to earn, and those sectors were not subject to any significant level of restriction. And then you look at the sectors that were subject to these significant restrictions, hospitality, non-essential retail, those areas of the economy that were, as I say, subject to significant restrictions over the last couple of years. They performed very badly. But it was workers out of those sectors were the ones in the main that were in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment from the Department of Social Protection. And a lot of those workers are in relatively low paid sectors of the economy. And because of the progressive nature of our income tax system, they don't pay much income tax anyway. So when they lose their jobs or are forced onto the PUP, it has very little impact on the overall income tax take. Whereas those higher paid workers who pay the bulk of income tax in any event, they continue to earn, they continue to do well during the COVID crisis. And that is reflected in very strong income tax take. And it also, I think, reflects, Eamon, the fact that, we hear a lot of criticism about our economy, about our government, etc. But actually, the economy in reality is increasingly creating higher value jobs, higher paid jobs in many sectors. And that's reflecting the very, very strong income tax take. So it's a story of a dual economy, certain sectors doing very well. And it's also a story of the very progressive nature of our income tax system.
What about small and medium enterprises, Jim? Small businesses, of course, being so important to so many people and also to the prosperity of the country. Is this reflected in small and medium enterprises?
Small and medium enterprises account for over 99% of the total number of businesses in our economy.
Yes.
They account for 65% of business employment in the economy. And they are so that there's a lot of SMEs, they employ a lot of people, and they also are spread throughout the villages, towns and cities of our country. So they're really important from a regional economic distribution of activity point of view. And the SME sector, it's a very, very mixed picture. Hospitality, non-essential retail, personal services, a lot of those businesses that have been subject to these significant restrictions are struggling at the moment. There is no doubt about that. And, unfortunately, they are still being subjected to restrictions like the 8 o'clock shutdown, etc.
Yes.
So many SMEs across the economy are actually struggling, okay, from due to COVID-19. But they are also struggling because they have faced a massive increase in most of their input costs over the last 12 months. They're finding it difficult to hire labor, so there's upward pressure on wages. Energy costs have increased dramatically. They're up almost 30% in the last 12 months. You know, that includes oil, it Yes. includes natural gas and so on. So a lot of their input costs are rising strongly. And at the same time, because they're subject to restrictions, business activity is not great. So in a nutshell, those SMEs are not doing well in general. But from an overall macroeconomic perspective, because those other sectors I mentioned, particularly the multinational sector, is booming, it is sort of hiding that fact. But I have no doubt about it, and I've argued this many times to you and to others over the last number of years, that we really do need to focus much more on the SME sector of the economy to ensure the long-term sustainability of our economy, and particularly to ensure the long-term sustainability of regional economic activity. So Ireland is very much, Eamon, a story of two economies. There is no doubt about that.
When you say focus on the SME sector, and clearly from what you just said, it's vital to towns, villages, small towns right across the country. What focus can we put on it, particularly against a backdrop where inflation now is 5%, the sort of target inflation figure for the EU forever has been 2%. Germans in particular have always insisted on that, haven't they? And for good historical reasons as well. And inflation at that level, never mind the 7% it is in the United States, it inevitably leads to high interest rates, which is another burden for both people paying mortgages and, of course, people running businesses.
Okay, the IDA has responsibility for attracting foreign direct investment into the country. And we saw again at the end of last year, the IDA delivered another very impressive performance in terms of creating new jobs in the multinational sector. Enterprise Ireland, another state agency, has responsibility for building the export capability of Irish businesses. And we saw earlier this week the annual results from Enterprise Ireland showing that it is continue to record a lot of success in doing what it does. However, what is missing is an agency with specific responsibility for SMEs. And many SMEs don't export, so they're not under the radar of Enterprise Ireland. So effectively, there is no state agency that has responsibility or that looks after those SME businesses that are so important around the country. And I think that is wrong. I think it needs to change, but there's very little political appetite to do it, because if those other sectors of the economy are doing very well, well, you know, why bother with the SMEs seems to be the official attitude. It may not be the theory of what they're saying, but it's the practice of what they're saying. So if you look at the SME sector, you know, in the next 12, 18 months, they're obviously, a lot of them are still subject to COVID restrictions and will be on a gradual basis for some time. A lot of those SME businesses have amassed significant levels of debt over the last couple of years. And because of the financial support coming from government through the PUP and particularly the EWSS, the Employee Wage Subsidy Scheme, you know, they have, those state supports have actually kept them alive. And the big fear then is that as those supports start to go, you could see a significant increase in insolvencies among SMEs around the country. So that's a challenge. And for those SMEs themselves, you know, apart from this whole COVID overhang and the impact that's having, the other things they're facing, they're finding it more and more difficult to source labor. So recruitment and retention is a big problem, and that is putting upward pressure on wage costs. So that's a problem for those companies. They have seen a significant increase in input costs over the last 12, 18 months. And I mentioned energy is a big one. But if you look across the board, energy, insurance, labor costs, local authority charges, all of those costs that SMEs have to face are, you know, that they're placing significant downward pressure on their margins. And the SME sector generally is not getting any real targeted assistance from government to help them navigate these waters, to help them get out the other side. And some people would argue, well, why would you support them? Because a lot of them are unviable anyway, and they will disappear. I sort of don't accept that view. I think COVID-19 particularly has placed a lot of those businesses into a position that they would never have been in terms of a level of difficulty. So they have got to be supported and helped through this process. And it's essential that as many of those businesses as possible come out the other end, because at the end of the day, you know, Ireland will eventually focus again on rebuilding its international tourism product as international travel and so on comes back. But without pubs, without restaurants, there would be serious damage to our international tourism offering and indeed our domestic tourism offering. So it's very, very important, I think, that those businesses are supported. But at the moment, many of them are definitely in a very difficult place. And as I say, I stress again, the overall aggregate statistics on the public finances, GDP growth and so on, don't reflect that picture. But it is a reality, believe me.
Is there now a Brexit issue, a Brexit effect in terms of where we export to, and in particular, but also where we import from? The trade between, for example, Ireland and Europe now versus pre-Brexit, trade between North and South now as opposed to pre-Brexit. Is that measurable in the first instance, and does it have any significance in our economy?
It is clear that, you know, we're just over a year into the real Brexit, and it has had a significant impact on Irish companies exporting to the United Kingdom. Well, I should say Great Britain specifically, and also importing from Great Britain. With the increased bureaucracy, with the restrictions that Brexit has imposed across a range of different fronts, doing business with Great Britain is much more complicated and difficult than it has been in the past. And, you know, that is particularly reflected in the experience of smaller businesses in the whole food industry, particularly because, and we always knew that the agri-food sector was the sector that was most exposed to Brexit.
Yes.
However, I'd be a glass half full type of person in relation to Brexit, because I think a number of things are happening. Number one, a lot of those businesses are starting to refocus, number one, on the domestic market, number two, on Northern Ireland, and trade in both directions with Northern Ireland has increased dramatically in the last 12 months. And that's where the Northern Ireland Protocol is really delivering for Northern Ireland, despite all of the political rubbish around it.
Yes.
It is delivering. And the other thing that's happening is, you know, we've seen, for example, that exporting out of Ireland has changed significantly in terms of its structure in the last year. The UK land bridge is being increasingly bypassed. We're seeing more and more direct ferry routes to Northern Europe, the Netherlands, Belgium, and particularly France. So, you know, the Irish economy and Irish businesses is responding. We also see a lot of this stuff, food stuff particularly, that we previously imported from the UK, that we're now finding it more difficult to source because of Brexit. There is import substitution going on, and there's potential for a lot more of that. In other words, stuff like, for example, yogurt we previously imported from the United Kingdom is, from Great Britain, I should specify. is it possible now that, you know, we produce that stuff domestically? And we are seeing some of this import substitution happening. And I also think it's clear, obviously, politically, the UK is in total turmoil at the moment. It's very obvious to anybody with a half a brain that Brexit has been detrimental for the UK. You know, you look at the queues across the English Channel, trucks, you know, Calais and at the UK side. So it's created chaos. And also there are serious supply chain problems in the United Kingdom. So I actually think, if this current political mess is cleared up, and it appears to me, you know, very, very difficult to see how Boris Johnson can actually survive, given the difficulties at the moment. I know that's something you have discussed at great length with my colleague, Chris Johns, but, yeah. You know, if you sort out all of that political mess, I think the reality is that there is potential again for Irish exports into Great Britain to pick up quite considerably, because of the simple reason that GB businesses need Irish produce because they're having serious supply chain difficulties themselves. Brexit has been a massive dislocation, but I actually think we will work through it and Irish business could ultimately benefit from it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, there is said to be around 135, 140 billion in people's bank accounts. It's described as pent-up demand by those who understand economics and politicians also. I think I saw Leo Varadkar talking about the pent-up demand because people weren't able to go out and spend their money in restaurants or bars or whatever. It's all in the bank and it's ready to escape once life returns, as please God it will in the not-too-distant future, to normal. Is that an accurate figure, and is pent-up demand the right description? Will we all go down to the bank, or you don't have to do that these days, get the card out and go mad? And will that make any difference, Jim?
Okay, you asked me a question about inflation earlier that I didn't really cover. I mean, inflation in the euro area running at 5%, the highest level since the euro was introduced. And okay, there's many factors impacting there, but one of the key factors, and Philip Lane spoke about this last week.
Yes, he's the Irish chief economist of the ECB now.
Yes, exactly. Who firmly believes, and I hope this doesn't backfire on him eventually, but he firmly believes the current surge in inflation is transitory and that it's a COVID thing. And that once we return to a semblance of normality, that inflation will go back to the 2% or lower that the ECB favours. And what's happening at a euro area level, and this does feed into the question you asked me about Irish savings, because of COVID-19, there was two effects really. One was that on the supply side, supply of a lot of stuff actually suffered as a result of COVID restrictions, okay? And on the demand side, obviously during COVID restrictions, it was very difficult to spend money. So there was a lot of repressed demand in the system. And suddenly, as we start to open up on the back of the vaccination program throughout last year, we got all of this repressed demand coming back into the system. It met repressed or limited supply, and lo and behold, prices start to rise. So eventually, one hopes that sometime during this year, later this year, that supply-demand imbalance will actually start to reach some sort of equilibrium again, and then recorded inflation starts to come back down quite significantly. From an Irish perspective, we very definitely are, you know, examples of this repressed demand, because, and this ties into what I was saying about the Exchequer finances, the fact that the income tax take is very strong, indicating that a lot of people continue to earn during COVID-19. But their ability to spend that money was seriously restricted because, you know, we weren't buying the new car. We weren't going on the foreign holiday. We weren't eating out very much because we couldn't. So all of this stuff, the way we spend money was seriously damaged during COVID-19, but we still earn. So as a consequence, personal savings start to rise very strongly, and we're roughly at about 135 billion at the moment, which is a record high. So you would expect, and I think we're seeing it already, actually, as the economy reopens, as people start to get the ability to spend again, you know, we are seeing consumer spending coming back quite strongly as those savings come back into the system. And indeed, over the next 12 months, I think we are going to see a lot more of that. And if you walk around Dublin, for example, at the moment, certain areas, there's an awful lot of building going on at the moment, extensions and so on. That is an indication that those savings are now starting to be spent. We're also seeing, unfortunately, in the housing market, those amassed savings are now facilitating deposits for new for houses, full stop. And that is increasing dramatically the demand for housing also. So we are seeing, Eamon, actually, this repressed demand coming back in Ireland. And I would expect it to be a feature of the Irish economy in the next 12 months. So for consumer-facing businesses generally, assuming they're not going to be subject to further restrictions, I think consumer-facing businesses, you know, will certainly have the opportunity for increased consumer demand in the next year as those savings come back into the system.
Jim, somebody listening to this for the last 25 minutes or so who was struggling to afford a deposit on a house, facing rental problems of one kind or another, wasting their money on rent young people see it, that they might be investing in a house. Does the rude health, shall we call it, of the Irish economy, as you have described it and others, does that in any way enable the government to address social problems clearly in the health service, but also in terms of people's ability to live close to where they work and to live in decent conditions? In other words, so much of economics is theoretical, but in practical terms, does this give the government the ammunition? It has, 2.5 years to run. Does it give them the ammunition to tackle something like a house building program of epic proportions, such as is required?
Yeah, Ireland has been very lucky in the last couple of years in terms of the public finances, because there has been massive pressure on spending, particularly in health and social protection, you know, to deal with COVID-19. But thankfully, the public finances didn't deteriorate to the extent that was possible because tax revenues have held up very well. So the Irish public finances, okay, they're not where we want them to be, and that's because of COVID, but we have to accept that they have deteriorated, and it was necessary to spend that money during COVID-19. But the public finances are in a reasonable state of health at the moment. And from a government perspective, that certainly gives them the wherewithal to spend more money in different areas. Politically, socially, and economically, housing to me is and should be the number one priority.
Yes.
And if the government, I don't think the government actually gets it. You know, if you look at the opinion polls every few weeks from various sources, the government parties are becoming more and more unpopular. Sinn Féin is becoming more and more popular. And I think most of that is down to the housing situation, because particularly if you look at the demographic support for Sinn Féin, people in that sort of 28 to 40 year old age group seem to be flocking towards Sinn Féin.
Yes.
And I think that reflects the housing crisis.
Yes.
And, you know, Sinn Féin, certainly, and Eoin Óibrín, they make promises that they will solve the housing crisis. Whether they will or not remains to be seen when they get into government. But they are sending out all the right messages at the moment. And government, unfortunately, is still failing abysmally to address the housing crisis. You know, we keep getting these pretty incoherent policies in relation to housing. You know, we see these various schemes like the Help to Buy scheme, which the Department of Finance is not a fan of, but yes, it's a key part of the housing strategy at the moment. So the housing crisis isn't getting better. You know, prices are still rising. It's becoming more and more difficult for people who want to buy houses. And it's something we like to do here in Ireland particularly. It's just not possible. And at the same time, rents are rising to astronomical levels. And if you look at Irish inflation in the last 12 months, apart from energy costs, the other big driver has been the rental market.
Yes.
So housing is a massive crisis. And I just can't really understand why government does not become much more focused on it. And okay, there are supply problems in the sense that, you know, we only have a certain capacity to deliver from the construction sector, but the government should throw as much money as possible at trying to sort the housing situation as quickly as possible. As I say, economically, socially, and politically, it is the biggest issue at the moment, and does need to be addressed. But the progress we're making is pretty invisible at this juncture, as far as I would see it. And that's manifested every time we see the latest inflation numbers on the rental side, when we see the various reports from people like daft.ie on what's happening in the housing market. It's still moving away from the government, and that's a problem.
Okay, Jim, well, we're grateful to you for talking to us on the stand this morning. That's Jim Power, one of our leading economists, who speaks in language that you can understand, which is quite rare in that particular profession. We're grateful to Jim, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.